celebrate an external solemnity, the Feast of the Guardian Angels, which technically falls on Tuesday. The church permits us to move our patronal feasts to the feast of the closest Sunday for the sake of the celebration. And therefore, it is the most appropriate thing for us to do. When you consider the life of a parish, which is oft forgotten, too many people think the life of the parish is about forming some kind of community around itself and doing all these activities that are fun. But the reality is, a parish gathers under the auspices of a particular saint, or in our case, the guardian angels for which it is named, and then the faithful devote themselves to that particular saint, in our case, the guardian angels in which the parish is named, and let the world know about that particular saint, in our case, the guardian angels in which the parish is named, and then ultimately living the community life around the Christ who is the center of everything. And obviously, if we're living our Catholic lives correctly and certainly following through with what we're required to do as Catholics of a particular parish, one cannot easily argue that we have the best situation, because the ones who are interceding for us, the ones in whom tutelage is being given to us, the example of which we are following is that of the guardian angels. I would say that's much greater than any Dominican. So be sure the reality, it is not mere mortal men that we are following, nor is it the vision that is given to us after the period of romanticism in the church, which followed the period of enlightenment and hard rationality, and the church started a restoration towards getting back in touch with the heartfelt, but ideally in a way that is balanced, but it sort of went the other direction, and the art of the time reflects it. So you have that beautiful angel who clearly she goes to the hair salon every day with that perfect coiffed hair and that lovely shimmering nightgown, and she is helping children cross a swinging bridge. That is not a guardian angel. A guardian angel is a fierce creature of God. It is a warrior. These are the very angels that would combat the demons forcing them out of heaven. When Lucifer would claim that he could be like God and he would not serve God, he would disobey. And the lowly archangel Michael is picked to be the leader of the heavenly hosts and to humiliate the seraphim Lucifer by bringing him and his minions down. These are the guardian angels, along with all the other choirs of angels. Theological speculation suggests that any of our guardian angels could come from any one of the nine orders. It is up to God. Others would speculate that the guardian angels only come from the lowest choir of angels. There is no De Fide statement on it, so it is unknown. But the bottom line is they are angels. They are supremely intelligent. And they, like us, need sanctifying grace. And they were given that sanctifying grace when they and all the other angels were put to the test at the beginning. And these incorporeal spiritual creatures who are profoundly intelligent and are loyal to God beyond compare because they know him through and through, they enjoy the beatific vision, so there's nothing that can distract them. And they commit themselves so fully to the mission that your guardian angel loves you more than your own parents ever could. More than your siblings, more than your spouse. Only the love of God, the love of Our Lady Mary Most Holy, would surpass the love of the angels, in particular the guardian angels, for us. Every human being born into existence, whether they're Catholic or not, receives a guardian angel. And this is the reality. And obviously you can see the trap of the enemy to convince us to be materialists, to think only about this world, therefore neglect our souls, neglect anything that is of benefit to the spiritual life, and live only for the body, live only for temporal amusements and fun, where the life deteriorates into merely seeking worldly things and only believing in those things you can see and hear and touch and taste and smell. This is precisely why we are given guardian angels, because the devil is just that dangerous. He envied Adam and Eve from the beginning, as the Book of Wisdom tells us, and therefore his attack was based on his envy. His hatred for man is pure because he hates God. And in man you have the imago Dei, and therefore he hates man and desires man's destruction. And as Revelation tells us, after he has cast out of heaven and he goes to the earth, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, the book of the Apocalypse tells us, because the devil is among us. And his work then, as Revelation tells us, he knows his time is short, and for a creature who does not live in the same concept of time as us, time is no matter. And so even though he is profoundly sinful, he can still be profoundly patient in seeing to our ruination and collapse. He knows his time is short. He knows that Christ is totally victorious. He knows that he has lost completely. He threw everything he had at the Christ on the cross because he did not think at that point that Christ was the Son of God. Hence, he did not hold back. He would have had to hold back if he knew it was the Christ. But he would not if he thought it was a mere prophet, which he did in his arrogance. Sin always makes us stupid. It darkens the intellect. And he threw everything he had at the Christ. And therefore, when he lost everything. His defeat was complete. Therefore, now it's about bringing as many souls to ruin as is possible, to bring as many souls to the losing side as is feasible. Hence, the battle is, as St. Paul says, our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with powers and principalities. It is a spiritual battle. And the enemy wants us to believe it is not. God is the great I am, as Fulton Sheen observed, and the devil is the I am who am not. And so many people do not believe he exists, even to the highest levels in the church, except when it's convenient. There are those who believe that there is nothing to fear from the enemy, and therefore the guardian angels became a romantic notion, a good luck charm, a pretty woman in a shimmering nightgown, totally harmless in the face of the enemy and the evil one, because the belief was we're totally safe. We're totally safe. There's no reason to worry about being vulnerable to anything because it is just so good. It is just so peaceful. And if you are a materialist, unless we're in a time of war, you tend to believe that. Unless, of course, you're struggling for material things, then you're not satisfied. The devil will arrange things, the demons will arrange things so that you will have everything work out for you materially, so that you will have all that you need with your home, your food, your clothing, your vehicles. He will make sure everything falls into place most perfectly so that you will become content. And therefore, you'll begin to neglect your spiritual life and you'll work to maintain your material life. And it becomes the focus of everything that you do. And God is always placed on the back burner. And opportunities for grace are always ignored. And opportunities to increase your knowledge are always put off because you have a false sense of security, a false sense that everything is just fine. Even if the world is falling apart around you, you can say, behind the four walls of my house, I am safe, and I need not worry about a thing. It's precisely what the enemy wants. Because once you fall into the deadly sin of acedia, it is very, very, very difficult, the church says, to get out of it. Because acedia, or sloth, or lukewarmness, is by its very nature existing in obstinate sin. And therefore, it is very difficult for the will to see the grace God sends to move one out. This is why the guardian angels are given to each and every one of us, so that we can recognize the snares of the devil, so that we can hear that whispering word that warns us away from danger, especially the spiritual dangers, or that voice that provides that which we need to get out of the darkness, to get out of the woods, to see the truth. That voice that refuses to allow us to succumb to the darkness and to only notice sin and only notice the negative. The guardian angels are there because by virtue of their being always aware of the beatific vision, they are filled with joy. Oh yes, the Lord God warns that when we sin, they are offended because their love for God is that great. But by virtue of the reality of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ entering into the world and mercy being truly possible, then the reality of our practice of confession restores a right relationship, not only with God, but with our guardian angels. And they would never abandon us despite our sinfulness. And they'll always work because their love for us is unconditional. They will always work for our salvation with everything that they are. And they know when we're making progress because more demons come at us, the more progress we're making. When we're falling back and falling away, the demons no longer bother with us because we're so busy with the world, with material things or with sin, that we do it all ourselves. And they don't even have to prod us. But still, the guardian angel would be there to prod us back to the truth, to prod us back to the light, to guide us back to divine revelation, so that we can see the life God is offering us and reject the life Satan offers us, the losing side, the side that's going down the drain, the side that has lost everything, and keeping our hearts aware of just how much the devil and the demons hate us. They hate us even more when we succumb to sin. They hate us even more if we end up in hell because they can't believe we were stupid enough to fall for it, especially with all the graces and the guardian angels God sent to each and every one of us so that we could indeed avoid condemnation and avoid sin. Be mindful of the guardian angel, and as I remind you every year, foster devotion to your guardian angel, which means, as our Lord says in Exodus, being aware the angel is there, speaking to the angel and learning to listen to him. Because he will guide you out of any darkness. He will guide you out of any sin. He will allow you to avoid any and every pitfall in the world. And should God desire that you have a trial and tribulation in order to foster within you not only willingness to suffer for him, but the necessary detachment from the world that is so alluring, your guardian angel will be there to assist you through that trial, to allow you to recognize the graces God sends to give you the strength to overcome, and therefore foster within each and every one of us a total dependence upon God, which is seen most perfectly in the angels themselves. Children were far more innocent in the times of our Lord, and they're most assuredly almost non-entities because they couldn't produce anything, and it was survival, all about survival. And therefore, the child was the most humble because it knew it could not have anything. And that is an example of total dependency, children being dependent upon their parents completely in those days. That is how we are to be in relationship to God. And the guardian angels will foster that within us because our true home is in heaven. So why would we think dependence upon God would be a negative thing? Unless, of course, we've allowed the wool to be pulled over our eyes and we're following the enemy who's telling us it's all about the here and the now, the material life, and building up for a future that you will never realize, a future that you will never experience, because you and I cannot live in the future. We can only live in the present. And if we're constantly worried about the future, then we're never living in the present moment God has given us, moments that can be filled with profound opportunities for grace. The guardian angels can wake us up and lead us to the moments of grace, lead us to the moments of enlightenment, lead us away from the darkness of sin. Lead us away from the negativity that can come from us recognizing all the awful sin, both in and outside of the church. To help us see our way through, to know that it is Christ in whom we've placed our trust, and it is the Christ that we are totally dependent upon. Foster a relationship with your guardian angel if you have not done so, and see how everything changes. See how you become more knowledgeable about the ways and things of the world. See how you'll become more aware of the traps and how to avoid them. And see how you will seek every opportunity to become closer to God and to enjoy the beatific vision. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.